studied in Dhaka. General Jacob actually studied in Dhaka. What
Right.
made him the most efficient tool that the Indian Army had at its disposal was the fact that he knew Dhaka like the back of his hand. He knew Bangladesh. He had bicycled in the streets of Bangladesh, in the streets of Dhaka. He knew it. And the Indian Army naturally used his strength. And he did have a lot of affection for Bengal.
Okay, so hi everybody. Welcome to another episode of Book Cafe Podcast. In today's episode, we will be talking to Mr. Manu Chaubey, a filmmaker based out of Mumbai, India. And our discussion today will primarily center around these two books right behind me. One is Surrender at Dhaka, Birth of a Nation by Lieutenant General J.F.R. Jacob, and the second is Milind Soman's autobiography. And we will also be talking about the short film Mukti, which was directed and created by Mr. Manu Chaubey, and it had Milind Soman actually star in that short film. So it actually happens to be one of my favorites because it is about the 1971 Bangladesh Liberation War. And because we're in the month of March and Bangladesh celebrates its Independence Day on the 26th, so there's no better time to have a discussion of this magnitude. But first, let me do my due diligence by welcoming Manu Chaubey to the show. So, hi, Manu, welcome to the show, and it's really great to connect with you.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for having me. And let's begin with wishing all the Bangladeshis a very happy Independence Day from India.
Thank you very
And
much. Yeah, thank you so much for that. I'm sure that our viewers and listeners will really appreciate those good wishes. So Manu, before we dive into our discussion, we would love to know a bit more about yourself. So for the sake of our viewers and listeners who haven't seen the short film yet and who may be discovering you as well for the very first time, do please take this moment to introduce yourself formally to us.
So I've been in the film industry for over 20 years now. I've written about 1,200 hours of television, lots of it. And finally, when the OTT space opened up globally, we figured out it's a very interesting place to be in terms of content, what you can do, how quickly you can do it, how efficiently you can do it. And so we got into the digital space and we've been making short films, web series, things like that. And Mukti is generally actually a feather in my cap. That was one film that actually put me on the map.
Okay.
And
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe the film is available for viewing on YouTube on the Sony channel. Is that correct? Would I
yeah,
have that?
it's
Okay.
on YouTube and on the Sony app.
Okay, so it's on the Sony app as well as on YouTube, and I can just tell from the millions of views that it's generated that it is quite a popular film. I definitely have to say that as far as short films go, this is definitely my favorite. I've not seen a better film that clearly represents the war and all the machinations that went into that final surrender discussion on the December six on the 16th of December 1971. So we'll definitely have to try and unpack all of that. But just before we get into the nitty-gritty, tell us how you got Milind Soman to be a part of the project. So maybe you can help us understand that a bit more.
If you can believe me, this film happened quite accidentally. I had gone to the Sony network to actually pitch another show. I remember the date, it was the 22nd of July. And I was totally pitching another concept and all of this. And as the meeting wrapped up, they said to me, "Look, we have 15th August coming up, which is our Independence Day. Do you have any content that you can provide for?" So this was just, I was reading Jacob's book at the time. And I just happened to narrate this incident, and everyone just leaped at it. We need this, we need to do this. So I'm sitting on the 22nd of July, and 15th of August is my deadline. That's when we have to telecast. I left the channel in a huff, went to the coffee shop downstairs, wrote the script, mailed it, got into my car. By the time I had driven home, the approval came. We like it. Get to work on it. 15th is your deadline. Even before I reached home, I had to turn the car around, head to my friend's place, who does the production to me. He sat, he budgeted the film in the next half an hour, and that's it. We started rolling.
So I have a million questions right here. So you're saying that it was actually a very short turnaround. So July 22nd and August
The
15th
15th
was
August
the 15th. Okay. And which
release,
year would this be?
2017.
2017.
Two
Okay.
thousand.
Right. And the book that actually inspired the film and the book that you were actually reading, is it this one, Surrender at Dhaka? or was it Jacob's autobiography?
The autobiography and Odyssey of War and Peace.
Okay,
This
so
in, the Mukti incident is they it's they it's all
right.
over the place. It was one of the seminal moments of the war.
Yeah, absolutely. So, an Odyssey in War and Peace. So that's definitely Jacob's autobiography. It's a wonderful autobiography, and the film does actually hit all the right beats. But what I'd really like to ask, Manu, is so once you had someone to play the part of General Jacob, you had to find your villain. So Yashpal Sharma, how did you get him to come on board for the film?
He was always our first choice, but like I said before, our deadline was so strict and so severe. We just didn't have time. This film just fell together. It just had to happen. It just came together. Picked up the phone, called up Milan. He was on board. Picked up the phone, called up Yashpal. He was on board. Let's do this.
And I can say that the pantomime villain that General Niazi is in the film, it really does come out really well, and the dynamics between the two was incredible. Did they have to go through a lot of screen tests or anything like that? So maybe you can just tell us more about
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, why would you screen test such fine actors?
Absolutely. And I think that they played their parts extremely well. But who was the third actor that was in the film? The one that played the Sikh captain, who was I believe Jacob's aide-de-camp. So who was he?
In the cab. He's a guy called Tejeshwar. He's a model. He's done a few ads. He's done a lot of ads, actually. He's an upcoming actor now. You'll see a lot more of him in the times to come.
Wonderful.
And he was a fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And he played his part really well. So he was the comic relief, I suppose. And of course, in retelling the story to the captain, so Jacob also was retelling it to us, the audience, as well. So that was really well
Yes.
made. So tell us about how faithful, in your opinion, has the short film been to Jacob's memoirs? So maybe you could just tell us about that. Have you taken a lot of creative license with the film, or have you been very faithful to what Jacob reported in his autobiography?
I have tried to be more than the incident. I have tried to be more faithful to the characters. The character that Jacob was, the character that Niazi was. If I got the characters right, the dialogue would write itself. The incidents are pretty much the same, no matter which account you take. But if you've understood your characters correctly, the film would practically write itself. So you have to work into the psychology of a Jacob and the psychology of a Niazi. So more than Jacob, you have to read Niazi's autobiography as well. You have to get into that point of view. What was he thinking? And he was feeling extremely betrayed at that point of time. He was at his most vulnerable. And Jacob had worked on him for 9 months, more than 9 months, from March after Operation Searchlight began. The Indian Army had already pretty much figured out this needs to be sorted. And they worked on, they broke the man, they broke his mind. The Mukti Bahini did a lot of it. Completely decapitated all infrastructure that they had. Once that research was in place, the events that took place in that room, that was just, it was half an hour that changed the history of the world. You have to understand what's at stake. The American Seventh Fleet was moving, the Russians were already in the Bay of Bengal, and China's always there on the border. These were three nuclear powers that would have gone head to head had that war not been terminated at the earliest.
Yeah,
And Jacob
absolutely.
went beyond his orders, beyond his brief, and he was sent in for a ceasefire. He demanded a surrender, got what he wanted, and came out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's something, it's quite an eye opener that if Jacob hadn't done what he had done at that moment in time, so instead of an Indo-Bangladesh war with Pakistan, it may have very well turned out into a regional war. The Americans and the Russians may have gotten involved. China could have gotten involved. So a lot of things could have happened. And as you rightly said, I believe that there was also a UN resolution that asked for a ceasefire on the 15th of December, or actually on the morning of the 16th, or something around that time.
Poland presented it.
Poland presented it, right? Did you have a chance to actually, even though the genesis of the film came out in 2017, But Jacob had unfortunately passed away by then in 2016. So I believe, I suppose you
2000,
didn't have
yeah.
a, yeah, so I suppose you didn't have a chance to actually ever meet him or talk to him
No,
about the book, right? Okay.
no, no,
And I think
no.
that remains one of our regrets as well on the show, because we're such huge fans of Jacob, and he did live up to a very good life, 93 years of age, and he's buried in Delhi. But given his Bengali Jewish background, Manu, I wanted to ask, like, did that come across in the book as well, that he had this affection for Bangladesh? Because he in my reading of the book, he always said that I am a Jew, but I am Indian through and through, and I grew up in Kolkata, so I feel very Bengali. His affection for Bangladesh may have actually come because of his love for Kolkata and West Bengal. Did that come up across to you as well in your reading of the book?
Jacob studied in Dhaka. General Jacob actually studied in Dhaka. What
Right.
made him the most efficient tool that the Indian Army had at its disposal was the fact that he knew Dhaka like the back of his hand. He knew Bangladesh. He had bicycled in the streets of Bangladesh, in the streets of Dhaka. He knew it. And the Indian Army naturally used his strength. And he did have a lot of affection for Bengal. Even Kolkata, he constantly refers to it as Fort William. So
Fort
he's
William.
like old school.
Right, he's really old school. Yeah, he's got that British humor as well to him. But there's one question that I'd like to ask Mona, and it's a little controversial. And this is, and we've been very fortunate to have had Mr. Karan Thapar on the show as well. And we actually pitched it to him that who actually really deserves the credit for the 1971 liberation of Bangladesh? Is it Sam Manekshaw, Field Marshal Sam Manekshaw? Is it Jagjit Singh Arora? Or should the bulk of the credit actually go to Lieutenant General GFR Jacob? So before I give you Karan Thapar's answer, I just wanted to get your opinion. Out of these three gentlemen, who do you think really deserves to be put right up there as far as the credit for the win goes?
When an event as big as 71 happens, when a nation is born, it requires synergy like you cannot imagine. Everything has to be just in place. So whether it's Manekshaw, whether it is General Arora, whether it is General Jacob, whether it is Mukti Bahini, the Bengali leadership that actually set forth everything just synergized. If that is what it takes for a nation to be born, for a nation to come into existence. So I don't get into dividing this. Every wheel, every cog fit in exactly like it should. And not just the army, the navy and the air force as well, the militia, the Mukti Bahini, all of it. It just fit in perfectly. If a cricket team wins a match, sure, there'll be one man of the match, but the entire team gets the credit.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's really well said. So I think that's exactly what Mr. Karan Thapar had also said, that the army chief fronts the credit, but of course there's a lot of cogs in the machine, a lot of cogs in the wheel. So it's a team effort more than anything else. So I believe that. And he did mention, I was actually trying to get him to admit that Jacob gets most of the credit, because in this particular book, Jacob actually mentions Karan Thapar's father, who was the Fifth Army Chief of India. So I tried to soften him up for the knockdown, but he wouldn't fall into that trap. So he's extremely sharp. But yeah, I think that one of the things personally that I really love about Jacob is the fact that every time people wanted to credit him with the victory, with the war victory, he always pointed towards the Mukti Bahini, and he said that these are the guys who created that atmosphere of terror, which made my job a lot easier, my negotiation with Niazi. So did Jacob and Niazi actually know each other before they had met on the 16th of December? Would you happen to know that?
They did. They did. Jacob, in fact, Jacob writes it in his book. On the 22nd of November, the Battle of Gariput took place. The war had unofficially started, where we took out Pakistani armor. And so there's this passage in the book where he mentions that he was at the border looking through his binoculars, and he had this faint glimpse of who he thought was Niazi. So he maintains that one sniper at that time, one right sniper, one good weapon, one bullet would have ended it right there. But these people are from the same army. before partition. Both of them had joined the Indian Army before partition. They would have known each other. Absolutely. Manekshaw and Yahya knew each other.
Right.
Jacob and Niazi would have definitely crossed paths somewhere. And these were high-ranking officers. There's very few of them on each other's mind.
Yeah, for sure. So it was basically a family squabble, you could say, but it was manifesting itself in this extremely difficult, long and difficult war. So in fact, long and difficult, 9 months is all it took for Bangladesh to gain independence. And of course, in other parts of the world, we see, for example, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, where that has been going on for more than 75 years now, and I suppose that they may never get independent. But I always, whenever I compare Bangladesh's history with what's happening in the Middle East, I always feel as though we've been extremely lucky to have an officer like Jacob who would actually go and bat on your behalf and try and negotiate the surrender rather than a ceasefire. So who knows how history may have turned out. But let me ask you something else along these lines, Manu. After the 16th of December, with regards to Indira Gandhi and Sam Manekshaw and the Indian political and military establishment, was there ever any talks about reintegrating Bangladesh with India in a sort of confederation? Or given that the Pakistan experiment didn't actually work out, did these talks ever get off the ground? What would be your take on that?
By the time the 71 war got over, by the time Bangladesh was born, both nations, India and Bangladesh, were economically not in the position for any kind of adventurism. Integrating this, I think our elders at the time would have just decided Pakistan's breaking up, Bangladesh is being born, leave everything, status quo, the Indian Army will march out just the way it marched in. We are not going there to occupy, we are not going there to integrate, we are going there to liberate.
So yeah, so I suppose yes, that was the thinking. And of course, if there was any talk of integration, then I don't think that they would have really done a whole lot with the refugees that had gone across the border. So they would have said, okay, let's just take over the territory. But I think that a lot of historians on this side of the border do appreciate that Mrs. Gandhi didn't take steps to create a military government here. They handed over power to Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, who was rightfully elected, but sort of had the election stolen from him in 1970. So I think that things turned out pretty well. And I suppose in this day and age, India and Bangladesh share extremely good cross-border relations. So it's really great for citizens of both sides of the border. Let me just ask at this point in time, Manu, that would you happen to have any future film projects that are in the pipeline that your fans could look forward to? So do please enlighten us about that.
So I've taken Mukti, which was a 17-minute short film, and now I've converted it into a 3-season web series. It's called The Art of War, where throughout the 3 seasons, I lay out the connection between the 3 wars that India and Pakistan have fought since. 71 war being season one, 84 the Siachen conflict took place, and 99 finally Kargil happened. And all these 3 wars are connected, where the point of the series is that matters are still remain unresolved between India and Pakistan. And because no war has decisively been able to create a solution, every war segues into the next. The seeds of the next war are already present in the one that has just passed. So this is one project that I'm really excited about, and that's what we're working on right now.
And how soon will that project come to fruition? If you could just give us some hints about that.
We should be rolling by end of this year.
And
Should be rolling by end of this year.
okay, wonderful. And which platform will it be available on? Will it be an OTT platform, or will it be one of the more bigger
OTT
networks?
platform.
OTT
OTT
platform. Okay,
platform. Yeah.
wonderful. So we'll wait with a bated breath for that to come out. So I'm sure that all of us who are fans of Mukti would really love to have your take on the web series and see
You're very
what we
kind.
get.
You're very kind.
So
Thank
I
you.
think we're pretty much coming to the end of our discussion, Manu. But just before we let you go, as you know that our show is called Book Cafe Podcast. We are after all a podcast about books because it's in the title. So I have a couple of questions to ask you specifically with relation to books. And so the first staple question is, Are you more of a fiction person or a non-fiction person? What genre of books do you enjoy or prefer reading?
Non-fiction,
Not
non-fiction.
non-fiction? Okay. So I think that it's a no-brainer to have guessed that because of your affection for Jacob's
No,
autobiography and
I'll tell you a very funny thing. I'm a writer of fiction. That's what I write, films, web
okay.
series. I'm a writer of
Right.
fiction. But through all the study that I've done, I have figured out that you don't need fiction to dramatize history. History is dramatic enough.
Right.
History is a screenplay that is written by the hand of God. That's the greatest writer in the universe. You
Right.
cannot
Yeah.
outdo him. Just get his history right, and your fiction will be correct.
Absolutely. So I think that I suppose this is why they say that sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, right? So I think
Always, not sometimes.
that
Always,
that's really
always,
always.
always.
Absolutely. So yes, I think that's really well said. Okay, so the second staple question that we have on the show, which we love to ask all our guests, and let me just give a preamble by saying that I'm told by a lot of our guests that it's an extremely hard question, but given that you're an avid reader, I'm sure that you can give us a really good answer to this. And the question is, if you could select a book that you feel that every young person should read at least once in their lifetime, it may or may not be a fiction book. It may or may not be a book related to history or geopolitics. But if you could select a book that is both edifying and useful, what would be your pick?
That's a really difficult question. I don't know, that's just so much. Look, the answer to this question will be different for everyone, all right?
Right.
My suggestion would be just read everything that comes your way, all right? It'll give you direction. It'll open your mind.
Right. Yes. And I think that's really well said. So I think that one of the reasons why we love to ask this question is to see exactly how guests from all over the world, from different cultures and different civilizations, if there happens to be a similar pattern to all of them, then that's probably a book that is worth reading. But I can say that for sure, we haven't had anybody on the show yet who has given us an identical answer with regards to
A
picking the
definitive
same
answer.
a definitive answer, right? So with regards to one particular book, so I think that extremely well said and well articulated. Okay, so on that note, for our viewers and listeners who have been with us all this time, thank you very much for staying till the end. If you are watching this on YouTube, please be sure to subscribe to the channel and hit that bell icon. It really helps us out. The episode will also be available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The book, once again, is Surrender at Dhaka by Lieutenant General J.F.R. Jacob, Milind Soman's Made in India autobiography. And of course, the film is Mukti, Birth of a Nation. It's available on YouTube, on the Sony app, as well as the Sony channel. And Mr. Manu Chobi, my thanks to you as well, sir, for your time. You've been a wonderful guest. I've really enjoyed talking to you. And I really hope to have a chance to talk to you again as soon as your web series is out. And we also
Absolutely. I'd
invite
love
you
it
to
to.
come and visit Bangladesh. So you've made a film, a wonderful film that honors not just the Indian Armed Forces, but it also honors all of us here in Bangladesh. We've really loved it. I can't thank you enough for making a film like this. So I really hope to have you and welcome you to Dhaka at some point in time. So thank you very much.
The Chinese have a saying. The Chinese have a saying. You get them what you wish for. You just might get it.
Absolutely. So on that note, so
All
we'll
right.
wait with bated breath for your web series and for your visit to Dhaka. So thank you so much for your time. Have a good day.
Thank you for having me, and happy Independence Day again.